Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 24. In verses 46 and 47, I read part of this here just a moment ago in the children's sermon, but I'll read it again where Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." This is our text. As we talked about before, as we go through life, we have various experiences. Yes, assignments, but we also have those wonderful chance meetings that are unexpected and often unwanted at first. Meetings with people that impact us greatly, don't we? I'm sure you can think of one or two of those. Think of somebody right now, some contact you had with somebody through any time in your life, and that one contact impacted you significantly. Perhaps it is that moment where you first met your spouse, or you have interaction with a person that gives you some profound new insight. Or maybe it is a meeting with that one person who, by their witness, leads you to understand and change the unhealthy or harmful direction that you are currently going in life. And then, when that initial meeting is over, you are often left wondering, when will I meet that person again? In our gospel reading, we find ourselves at the moment of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is so much more going on here, though, than just, as if this isn't enough, than just Jesus ascending physically to heaven. More than 40 days earlier, Jesus was hanging, nailed to a cross, suffering an agonizing death. He cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And with his face toward the ground, bearing the unspeakable weight of the entire world's sins, not to mention the whippings and the beatings earlier in that day, Jesus now endures the full weight, the full fury of his Father's wrath against your sin, against my sin, against everyone else's sin but his own, because he had none. And in the midst of that agony, Jesus breathlessly proclaims, "It is finished." And then, as John 19:30 tells us, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's then that Jesus' side is pierced by a spear, and when the blood and the water pour separately out of him, our Lord and Savior's death is confirmed. It is real. It's not just imaginary, as some people want to say. God died there at that moment in the person of Jesus Christ. And then, as the gospel accounts tell us, Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, hurriedly wrapped with linen and spices, and laid lifeless in a tomb that was not even his own. Struggling to understand all of this, Jesus' followers certainly had to wonder, when, if ever, would they meet with Jesus again? But then, all praise be to God, 3 days later, on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus steps out from the tomb alive. In his sacrifice and payment for sin, Jesus has now conquered death itself. No grave could contain him. He rose as victor, Not only for himself, but for you, for me, for everyone who believes in him alone for salvation and eternal life. And none of this happened in secret, away from eyewitnesses. No, for the next 40 days up to the time of our text here, Jesus meets with his followers. Yes, to the 11 disciples and those closest to him at first. But Jesus, he is alive. He is conquering of the grave, makes a bold statement of reality and truth, and it is widespread. It is not only for his close friends, but for you and for me and for all who believe in him still today. It is the indisputable truth that now you will not die. You will live with Jesus eternally as his free and undeserved gift. Then comes this day here in our text, what the Christian church has historically called Ascension Day. Now, certainly the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection leading up to this event had to be wonderful and inspiring. Many new Christians, I'm sure, even met the risen Lord for the first time. And now those that witnessed Jesus' last earthly words, those that saw him actually ascend, had to be wondering, where and when will Jesus meet us next? And what joy awaits us then and there? Because you see, throughout Jesus' ministry on earth, with every meeting, he brought teaching and blessings to those around him. But this day, when Jesus ascends into the heavens, verse 51 says that it is not about coming back together. Instead, it says he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And yet, certainly the temptation had to be there for these disciples who had seen Jesus already leave them through death, only to come 3 days later to wonder, when and where will we meet him next? I mean, he did it once before. Surely he will do it again soon. You and I, however, know from the witness of God's holy word that this time was different than his other departures. We know that Jesus didn't appear bodily to them again here on earth. But his promise in John 14, verse 18, it still stood. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." A few verses later than that, Jesus explained, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This, you see, is what Jesus is referring to in verse 49 in our text. "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And in fact, it is with the help of this Holy Spirit that Jesus continues to this day to be with you, with me, with all believers here in his church. And while we wait and wonder when and where we will see him next, he has given us all an assignment to carry out, an assignment that he fully intends, folks. This may break some of your bubbles here. He fully intends that this assignment is going to fill and occupy our time, talent, and treasure, which he has poured out upon us in this earthly life. That's why he gave it to us. Jesus first gave this assignment, yes, to his disciples there with him that day, but the very nature of the assignment has ramifications that now make it your and my assignment today. After all, my dear Christians, as we talked about before, you are believers only because those first Christians were faithful in performing Jesus' assignment, aren't you? Jesus told them, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name to all nations. And they did that, verbally and in writing. And now that proclamation has come to you. As you read God's word, as you hear it proclaimed to you from your pastors, your parents, your Sunday school teachers, and others, you've heard about and you've been convicted of your own sin. And you've received the Spirit's gift in your baptism by which you are able now to actually repent of that sin. And likewise, you have received Christ's forgiveness earned at the cross. You received it there in baptism. And you have been gifted through the Holy Spirit with a saving faith in Jesus alone. Yes, we've all still, though, had times when we have wondered, where are you, Jesus, for me today? Those doubts, those questions, they so easily show up in times when we face significant challenges. Times when those urges to sin are at their worst. Times when we wonder how God could love someone as sinful as me. It's then, my dear friends, that we need to hear that proclamation of repentance and forgiveness again and again. It's then that the witness in Scripture is so important for the eyes and ears of our souls to hear even more. Jesus has paid for my sin on the cross. Jesus has conquered death for me in his resurrection. I am covered by his blood today and forever. It's then that I need the Spirit to turn me from thoughts of my works to see that I only have peace with God now in the work of Jesus and Jesus alone. My dear friends, the proclamation of this truth, of repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus alone, is the gift that Jesus left for all people in his church that day and every day until his return. It's the assignment, in fact, that we in his church still have. That it is our joy, it is our privilege, it is our responsibility to proclaim anywhere and everywhere that we are able to do so. And all of it is through this message, after all, it is through this message of Christ that you and I have been saved, isn't it? And it is only through this message that those who are not saved or those who are struggling in their faith have any hope of being saved as well. But still the question remains, when and where will we meet Jesus again? Well, Luke actually leaves us a clue to that earnest desire in verses 52 and 53 of our text. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. No, Jesus did not return bodily as he had in the past, but he did still come to them in the flesh, actually, in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of his blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. He joined with them through the waters of baptism, and he came to them in his holy word. And my dear believers, the same is true for you and me today. You see, you don't have to wonder where Jesus is. You don't have to search for him. Why? Because Jesus has made it abundantly clear for us where he is at. Because he comes to you exactly where and when he promised that he would be before he even left. He comes to you in his Holy Supper. He meets you once and for all time in the waters of holy baptism, just as he promised. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life today and forever. So rest assured, your life in faith is intimately tied to Christ. He gives you not only the words of eternal life, but eternal life itself in his word and sacrament gifts. It's there that he gives you his life. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you his peace, and he gives you freedom. Freedom to live for him, and freedom to express, to proclaim his message of repentance and forgiveness all around the world. Because look, there are still so many people right here in Fort Lupton and the surrounding area where we live and around the globe who do not meet with Jesus as he desires, who do not even know Jesus as their loving and gracious Savior. That's why, my dear Christians, it is so crucial that we be about this assignment that Jesus left for us at his ascension. But as we asked in the children's sermon, how? How can I go to all the nations of this wide world with the news of Jesus? Well, today we give thanks for the work of a very special group within our church, our Lutheran Women in Mission, also known as the LWML. Their work is to provide ways for us to partner together in this assignment from Jesus, to carry the gospel to those people who need to meet this Jesus that is our Savior, the one who desires to be their Savior as well. These women, they do so many things around the world, like making and gathering blankets for those in the midst of a tragedy, like putting meals into the mouths of those who are hungry and in need. And on your behalf, they make certain that people in Africa have access to the Word of God. They partner together to support pastors and missionaries who then are physically able to take the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus to people all around the world. By supporting and praying for the work of the LWML, God makes it possible, you see, for you and me to be a part of fulfilling that assignment from Jesus far more efficiently, far more effectively than if we each tried to do it only on our own. So where is our Lord? Well, first of all, he is right here, in the heart and hands and voices of his people, reaching out and proclaiming him and his gifts one-on-one and together through the efforts of groups like the LWML. And they aren't the only group within our church body doing this same important work. Just as he promised before his ascension, Jesus is anywhere. He is everywhere that his word is preached and his sacraments are rightly administered in his name. What a blessing that is for us today to meet with Jesus, to live in repentance, and to have forgiveness in his name. What a blessing to proclaim that good news far and wide as well. In his name, in Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.